The Lord is good unto all. Mm-hmm. You open up your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord, we thank you. The Bible says, see the Lord with all your heart and he will give you the desires of your heart. You are so good, Lord, so good unto us. We bless your glorious name, Lord. Father, thank you. We thank you for the, thank you for reading the scripture at this hour, Lord. Thank you for our fellowshipping, you know, with you in songs and praises. Now, Lord, speak to us through your word, Lord. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So many times, God's people, new ministers and so on, they will take a book or the Bible, and they can even spend weeks on them. One time, one of them, the book of Hebrews is, I don't know how many months it's called, the book of Hebrews alone. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And one time here, I even too, by the grace of God, you know, see, through the book of Daniel, went through almost all of it, you know, in the Wednesday meetings. And at least time, we took the book of Revelation. We did the same thing by the grace of God, you know, after all. You know, so this morning, I want to just speak of a book. I call it The Obscure Truth about the book of Job. You see? An obscure truth or obscure truth about the book of Job. I won't cover all the book of Job. Certain things about the book that is not clear to many people. And especially you have heard me said here many times, right? I will say the book of Job is the oldest book. And I've said many things here. I will say the heavens is the first Bible, you know? And then we went on that many times. We go into the, you know, we go into astronomy, we go into the heavens and we see how they match the Bible. At another time we say, oh, there's also a Bible in stone, the great pyramid of, you know, Egypt in Giza, you know. And we tell you kind of thing. So just a little bit this morning to even expand on the truth that the book of Job, not too many people, as far as this is not a doctrine, it doesn't make anybody to be saved or to be lost. Bible says that it's the glory of God to conceal a sin. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. That's all that is about it. Praise the Lord. So not much or dogmatic about it or anything like that, you know. As God's children, we want to know all that God has ever revealed to his people. Praise the Lord. So here for this morning, so some scripture by the book of Job. So as far as you know, the oldest book in the Bible should be apparently the, I mean, as any Christian, they will say the book of Genesis, that's what they are going to say. And I understand that, you know. So, and I will say, 99.9% of Christians will say, oh, the other book in the Bible is Genesis. I understand their viewpoint, you know. So, anyway, incidentally, when we look at the Bible critically and let the Holy Ghost shed some light on us and we study it deeply, we will find that, the book of Job, actually relative to the other books of the Bible, is in fact the oldest book in the Bible, really, you know, the oldest scripture and so in the Bible. I want to kind of talk about that this morning for a short while, hopefully, you know, so, and many outstanding Bible scholars, and, they hold this view too, you know. Again, it doesn't save anybody. We just love to know all about God, amen, and his word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, let me tell you, to start this thing, let me now tell you that, first of all, it should be helpful to know that the Bible is not arranged in chronological order. They are not in chronological order. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's one thing. That is a fundamental thing. I want to lay down. Then that it will make this one clear, you know. So now, the book of Job is left. Now, I'm going to go to different viewpoints to show you how it is the oldest book in the Bible by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. The book of Job is referenced in other Old Testament scriptures. For example, in Ezekiel 14:14, he even showed Job as an intercessor, right? If you bring Moses, I won't read that. Bring Moses and Job and some of that, you know. They have seen so much. So it's in Ezekiel 14:14 and Ezekiel 14:20, he mentioned Job in there, you know. And the New Testament, of course, in the book of James, you know, the I believe the fifth chapter. You have heard of the patience of Job, right? You know, so they mention it. Now, but the thing is this. Yet, the book of Job makes no reference to any other book in the old Bible. See? That says a lot of story right there, you know? So because there was no book before it, so you couldn't, so no other, it doesn't reference any other book, you know, because there's nothing to reference, you know, when it was written, right? So that's one viewpoint, you know? And so we see that right there. So, and so at least, at least directly or indirectly, maybe just indirectly, but we don't know, not directly really. So that suggests to us that the events of the book of Job, you know, took place long before those in the rest of the Bible, you know. Now, the exact date that the book was written is unknown. As far as we know, we don't know the exact date that it was written. But there is a strong evidence that Job lived between 1900 BC and 1700 BC. That's what many historical and biblical, chronologically show us. And that the book was written around that time as well, around 1900 to BC and 1700 BC. The events in the book of Job are believed to have taken place before the time of Moses. So Moses wrote Genesis, right? But many things show all that it was written before the events in that book were before Moses, you know, and possibly during the era of the Bible patriarchs. So thus, pointing to it, that means it predates Genesis then. Those events predate Genesis. That is the truth and so on. The book of Job is written differently, another reason, differently from all other books in the Bible. And I'll show you why. First of all, most of the Old Testament books, right, they were written in an Hebrew language called the Old Hebrew. That's what they were written in. But the book of Job wasn't written in Old Hebrew. It's a kind of Hebrew called Paleo-Hebrew. P-A-L-E-O. So why is it that only the book of Job is written in a different Hebrew language? It's not even called Hebrew, you know. So the other Old Testament books are called Old Hebrew. They have a new Hebrew now, but the Old Testament was written in Old Hebrew. And the book of Job wasn't written in that language, wasn't a different type of language called Paleo-Hebrew. So you can see why it's different. Because why? It predates all the other books, you know. So the book of Job also contains Syriac, the type of language, right, and Aramaic expressions, which point to a period. Those languages, they go back to between 1900 BC to 1700 BC, like we said before, and that's the period since that book of Job was written. Now, in addition to using a different language from the other Old Testament books, so another thing is this. Job also mentions several creatures and conditions that are unknown today. See? Either because they were extinct because of animals, or they have a different name today, you know, because it was so old, that's another reason, you know. So the age of the book of Job can also be found in what is noticeably missing in that book. We can also ascertain something about it in what was conspicuously missing in that book. Things like this, let me say this. Conspicuously, we know, absent in the book of Job is any references to the covenant that God made with Moses. Can you imagine that? Nothing about the covenant that God made with Moses and the children of Israel. Nothing was mentioned about the law of Moses. Can you imagine that? You know, because why? It was written before the law of Moses was written, you know. So, and not only that, nothing was mentioned about the priesthood. Can you imagine? Nothing was mentioned about the priesthood. Not even the Israelites were mentioned, you know. So why? Because that some point out to that was written before there was any Israel, anything like that, you know. So even before Moses and so on like that, you know, nothing was said about the promised land. You know, can you imagine that? So that's one of the pointers why many scholars do believe that was the oldest book in the Bible and so on. Now, the book is believed to have been written around the time of Abraham, you know, for many reasons, which I want to quickly delve into right now. So number one, we notice that in the time of Job, like I said, there's no priesthood mentioned, right? So when it was the heads of families that offer sacrifices to God, they didn't go to any, there's no priest to go to, there's no priesthood, right? So it is the head of families that offer sacrifices to God without the use of a priesthood or even mention of any temple, nothing like that, you know. So even Job himself, in Job chapter 1 verse 5, you know, Job and so on and his children, then maybe that's unto you. And it was so when the days of the children of Job now, our feasting were gone, you know, they always feasting, the children of Job and so on, that Job sent and sanctify them. He didn't call it, there's no priest to call, right? He didn't call a priest to go and offer a sacrificial animal, you know, like the of Moses. You know, he did it himself, head of family, right? And they rose up early in the morning and offer burnt offering. He didn't call a priest to offer burnt offering. In days of Moses, it was burnt offering, right? By the priest, right? There was no priest for that time because it was predating Moses, right? Before the Genesis, right? So, according to the number of them, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. In the time of Moses, when you sin, you have to go to the priest, right? With the sacrificial animal, right? So, but that showed that it predates Genesis, right? So anyway, the burnt offering, caused God in their heart. So he will offer the offering by himself, you know. Another, in Job 42 verse 8. Now, after his ordeal, you know, his friends, they accused him and so on. You must have seen, Job, how can this thing be upon you? You must have seen, you're a Christian and so how can this thing be before you? You must have seen, you know, he didn't understand God. Anyway, so God now told his friends, go to my servant Job. You see, he didn't say go to the high priest or to the temple. That's in Job 42, 8. Therefore, take unto you, now, 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. You see that? You know, that is in Job 42, verse 8. You can read the rest of them. You know, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. So if Moses was not what there and so on, like go to the priesthood, right? You know, go to my servant Job, you see? So anyway, so you see, and that is why we said. So it was the head of family and so on that offered offerings to God at the time that Job was there. Another second point is, an head of family received instruction from God. He didn't go to any priest and things like that. That's in Job 22:22. He said, receive, talking to Job now, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, from the mouth of God yourself now, and lay up his words in thy heart. And in Job 23 verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. They received directly from God. I wasn't any priest at that time, like in the time of Moses. And so we know. Now, another thing is this. So this book contains no hints regarding Moses, no hint regarding Israel, no hint regarding the judges, nothing like that, you know, in the book of Job. And there is nothing about the king or prophet of Israel. So, nor is there any mention of the Lord, like I said before. So, again, these are just in between the lines in the Bible that God's children can just see and, you know, understand things, you know. Here's another point. Now, the rapid drift into idolatry does not appear to have occurred, you know, at the time the book of Job was written, which means it predates the flood, right? The antediluvian, it predated it, that Moses wrote about, it predated that, nothing like that. Why, how do we know that? They still serve God very well. That's, and look at Job 27 verse 2, it says, so they are still serving God, you know, the pollution of the Canaanites haven't reached their maximum at that time, and some of that, you know. So that Moses wrote about. So now look at Job 27 verse 2. As God liveth, who has taken away my judgment? And the Almighty, see, I like in the book of Job, I have never seen a book where the word Almighty is used as many times as the book of Job. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Almighty, always say Almighty, Almighty, you know. And the Almighty, who has vexed my soul, you know, all the while, my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. There wasn't so much apostasy as was written in the book of Genesis at that time. So he said, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Job 33 verse 4, about how the Spirit was serving God at that time, when the book was written, 33 of Job verse 4, The Spirit of God hath made me, he confessed. And the breath of the Almighty, here you go again, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. See, they were still godly. The sin of the ancestors, which in Genesis, haven't really occurred as far as we know from what we are reading from here, you know. Now, here's another viewpoint. There are mentions of creation. He said so many things about creation. Yeah, you know, Moses wrote about creation, but most, even Job wrote many, many things about creation. And I will dread on this a lot, you know. So, because, you know, so that's it. In Job, from Genesis itself, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it said, in the beginning, right, God created the heaven and the earth. We know that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. That's what Moses wrote to us, right? That happened in the book of Genesis. But, you know, let us look into it. We will find out that Job even told us more what happened between those two verses of the book of Genesis. So, obviously, how can all of a sudden the heart become void and became dark? What happened? Something happened in there that, you know, that caused that void. So, obviously, some of the that something happened between those two verses of the book of Genesis. So some catastrophe that befell the heart during the this is talking about the that's a pre-Adamic era. This is before Adam now. That a judgment came upon the earth. That what happened right there. That was a judgment that destroyed the inhabitants of the pre-Adamic world. That was a people, that was a creation, you know, before Adam, that was destroyed, you know, around that time, between Genesis 1 and 2 and so on. And Job gave us more light and so on. So, he spoke of some catastrophe that befell the earth during the pre-Adamic era. And it is so understood by many, many Bible scholars. Now, but the Bible tells us that God did not create the earth, you know, to be void, right? So, or to be a waste. Isaiah told us in Isaiah 45, verse 18. I'm going to a point right now. Let me read that one. For thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth. Isaiah 45, verse 18, I believe. Am I getting it right? And I made it. He has established it, meaning the earth. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we know that void is not the original thing that God created, right? So something happened to the earth and so on. So anyway, so how then, if God didn't create the earth to be void, what happened then? How then did a cataclysmic event render the earth to be void and waste? As we are told in Genesis 1-2, what happened in India? Just a digression right now, back to the book of Job quickly. So there are many, many hints, you know, in the scripture that associate such a pre-Adamic disaster with the fall of Satan, who, as we are told in the Bible, once had access to Eden and the garden of God. They call Ezekiel to us in Ezekiel 28, we are seeing that cataclysm that happened between Genesis 1 and 2. God didn't create the earth that way to be void and to be dark. No. Something happened to it after Genesis 1 and between 1 and 2, something happened in there. So it was the fall of Satan. And the Bible tells us that it was even in Ezekiel 28, 13 says, thou, meaning Satan, has been in Eden, the garden of God. Verse 17 says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So what happened after that event? What happened to it and so on? That he punished, no? They were punished. Whatever was here in that time, they were punished and so on. There was a judgment that came upon the earth and so on. That kind of wiped out whatever that is there at that time, you know. That what happened between Genesis 1 and 2. Then there was a void. Now, it was in the book of Job, then here's how I'm going. So the book of Job that describes this pre-Adamic catastrophe and gave us some understanding of what happened to the upon the earth at that time. And that is in Job chapter 9, So why, what was that darkness upon the deep? What was it? You know, and so on. You know, so I don't know. So it's just that told us what really happened, you know. So in Joshua chapter 9, couple of verses, verses 4 through, I believe, 9. So talking about the Lord now. He was wise. I mean, he is wise, making God. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him, meaning against God, and has prospered, which removeth the mountain. That's a cataclysmic thing that happened to the earth, right? That causes the void, you know. Now, which removed the mountains, and they know not, which overturned them in his anger. He was angry with that, whatever was here at that time, I'm talking about that, you know. Which shaked the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. More we talk about the pillars later. Which commanded the sun, and it rises not. That's the darkness that was upon the deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Commanded, you know, the sun, and it rises not. And the sealed of the stars was all dark. Genesis 1:2, right? Was all dark. Job now is one who was telling us, you know, by the Holy Spirit anyway, this is not the writing of a man, all scripture about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God, they speak as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. This word is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, so, see right there, that's, he told you right there, you seal it up. We don't have time this morning. You remember many, many years ago, we talked about the creation and so on. Only in the first verse, where I think God created, it's actually thereafter, past one, Genesis 1:1, that was created, and so on, was bara. I believe it was in Greek or something like that, you know. Every other thing you see thereafter is a recreation. You know, so when that abomination of Satan being cast to the earth happened in the Adamic era, and God wiped out what was there before, and snow covered the whole thing with snow and so on, like a wilderness, you know, and so that, you know, so the sun couldn't shine through anymore, you know. So you see, that's why. And Job tell us what happened right there. So, you know, it commanded the sun, and it rises not, and sealed up the stars. There was no light. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, of course, so that's so this scripture indicates a great geologic upheaval, you know, that took place. The very earth was shaken out of her place. The light of the sun and star were cut off. See? And that's what happened right there. Job has let us know by the Holy Ghost what happened there and so on. That, you know, in Job chapter 9, so verse 7. Which commanded the sun, like I said before, and it rises not, and sealeth up the star. That refers to Genesis 1:2, where it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. See? Now, let's move on. So, in Job chapter 12, verse 7. But ask now, talking about the creation, I'm talking about, you know, creation. You know, Job talked about creation a lot. That's why I want to spend a little time here, you know. Genesis talked about creation, but Job gave us great and deeper insight that we didn't see in the book of Genesis. The same God, you know, and so on that, you know, in Job 12:7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Verse 9 says, who knoweth not in all this that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, created all these things, you know, talking about creation, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. So he's talking about creation a lot. In Job 26, verse 13, by his spirit he has garnished the heavens, he said, talking about the creation of the heavens, you know, talking about the earth and all that thing, though he's talking about creation a lot. I just take a snapshot, that's too much to talk about creation that Job told us about and so on. So by his spirit, he has garnished the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent. If you are wondering what is that, crooked serpent, if you know a little bit of astronomy, we have been talking about them a lot, so on. Let me tell you what that crooked serpent is. It's also called Hydra. So it's one of the decans of Leo, you know, constellation. Don't forget that there are 12 constellations, there are 48 of them, right? There are 12 basic constellations. Virgo, the first one, and you are going counterclockwise. Leo is the last one, right? Now, this crooked serpent is also called Hydra. It is the serpent, you know. It is the longest constellation in the heavens, really. It lies across three constellations. Cancer was before Leo. So it lies underneath Cancer, Leo, and Virgo in the heaven. Just imagine it. See yourself as a circle, right? This is not astrology, this is astronomy, you know? Mm-hmm. Talking about the heavens right now. We've got through this before. But you know, when you read all these things, so it's Job knew all these things. God showed it to me and so on. So that crooked serpent, it's a constellation. Now, Leo, the constellation, has three associated constellations. And one of them is called Hydra, the serpent. So, and it is a long constellation of stars, you know. And you cannot see why it's called the serpent and it's longer. Because why? Leo is the last one, right? Depicting the coming of the Lord Jesus. In the Virgo, it depicts Christ coming, in the Virgin, right? In the Incarnation, right? That's the Virgo, right? Then Leo is incoming, you know, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? So that serpent was underneath Leo. And you can see the foot of Leo right at the head of that serpent, right there in the heaven. Praise the Lord. Anyway, just to let me just, that's a whole story by itself. They call it Hydra. But Joe called it the crooked serpent, you know, right there. Anyway, so we're talking about creation. So we're talking about Job talking about creation. And I want to talk about that as well. Job 38:4. He said, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? So about creation, Job talking about creation, talking, asking for Job. Where were you? Lay the foundations of the earth. Declare, O Job, if thou hast understanding. So he's talking a lot about creation. Now, a little bit like this. The ancients believed that the earth was flat, right? Even when the Bible clearly said that it was round. Can you imagine? See? Yeah, because in Isaiah 40, 21, now, Isaiah 25, for many, many centuries, the ancients, they think that the earth was flat, right? And even though the Bible has declared that it was round, where did he say that in the Bible? In Isaiah 40, verse 21. Have he not known? Have he not heard? Has he not been told you? From the beginning, have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Verse 22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, you see, and the inhabitants thereof are as grass. But before there was anything, God declared that the earth is circular, right? Even till recently, people still hold that people who believe that the earth is flat. Now we are seeing the pictures. Or people just went to go and in the last 3-2 months and so went off there and they took picture from the picture. You can see the heart right there. You see the picture right there. You know, people who went to space lately. Now they took the picture of the heart. You can see, you know, something like that. God said in that area that it was circular, right? So and so we see right there. So anyway, let's quickly go here now. And the translation. Yeah, okay, let's leave that one alone. So we all know by now, only one to be ignorant, that the heart is circular, is spherical, actually. Even the Latin translation of that verse, you know, the Latin translation, it says, is sphere. It's even more accurate, you know. So the Catholic translation of that thing, it says sphere. Anyway, the ancients not only believed that the heart was flat, but they heard that underneath the heart were giant pillars holding it up. That's what they thought. I'm talking about Job, talking about creation, right? That's how I get into this one. Yeah, I'm going to keep playing. Now, so they say that there are giant pillars holding it up. So anyway, while the scripture also speaks about pillars of the earth, yes, it does. It only uses it figuratively. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's get a few scriptures that where the Bible talks about pillars and things like that. In Job, I got to go to Job again, right? See, because in other book, talk about these things, right? In Job 9:6. We shaked the earth out of our place. And the pillar, you see that one? Thereof. He talked about pillars too, but figuratively. Tremble. And 26:11 of Job, the pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. So the thing is this. So and the description usage of the pillars of the earth is in relation to what? What I find out today, you know, it means the forces that hold the earth and other heavenly bodies in their appointed places in the heavens. So he is talking, he couldn't use the word of today But I found out, right, what was happening. What was that? So, and in the 26th chapter of verse 7, Job 26, verse 7, he stretches out the north over an empty space and hanged the earth upon nothing. You see? That is in Job 26, verse 7. So now, I want to quickly say something. The pillar, what is the pillar of the earth there? If it's not concrete pillars, right? And the earth is not even flat. So, you know, and the Bible talks about pillar. What is that? Now we know today, science discover what it is. So what's going on is this. So given that the earth is not built on foundation of stone and concrete, and the scripture says that the Lord hanged the heart on nothing, what do we get out of there, you know? What then are these foundations? What holds the earth in its place? What's holding it? Other heavenly bodies? What's holding them in place and so on? Here is what it says. Back in the 15th century, a scientist, an astronomer, his name was Copernicus. He was a polymath. Polymath means somebody who has understanding in different areas of learning, you know. For example, he's a polymath, P-O-L-Y-M-A-T-H. Polymath means a person who has understanding in many aspects of learning. So this guy was an astronomer, was a mathematician, and he was a canon in Catholic Church. That's a polymath, right? So he was the first astronomer, or the first modern astronomer, that point to us. People used to think that the sun goes around the heart, right? He was the first one in the 15th century to show us that the heart goes around the sun, the other way around, that the heart and the other planets are going around the sun. Until that time, they think the sun was going around the heart, you know? So it was one that gave us a certain understanding of the solar system. Sometimes they may be Christians. He was a Catholic canon, right? Even a Catholic church, right? There are children of God in India, like we always say all the time. God will bring them out at the appropriate time. It's a system that will never repent, you know, and so on. You know, incorrigible system. They will not repent, but God will bring the children out of it. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. This kind of knowledge, I believe, is intuitive. It's God that as if Newton knows about gravity, apple falling. That's intuition, right? And I believe he's a Christian because he said many things. I can't go into it this morning. Anyway, so let's see now. So, and then what happened? So, he was a Polish astronomer and so on. He was the first, that's good. Okay, so, and in Job, now, what he was saying, maybe I read the Bible too, I will not be surprised. It's all in Job. In Job 38, 32, that's what the Bible says. Can thou bring forth murderers in a season? Or can thou guide back to with his son, he said, you know. So the margin says of that verse, the margin says that it says that he called it a Mazaroth. It's called the signs of the zodiac, you know. That's what it says. I believe he read the Bible too, you know. So he's talking about the Mazaroth is the 12 signs. Give me the margin. The 12 signs of the zodiac that appear successfully in the night sky throughout the year due to the earth's revolution or annual motion of the earth around the sun. So the Lord didn't explain to Job, but he put it right there, you know. He let science now find it out. Everything God said. Is it the earth being flat? They now said it is now round. The Bible is true, right? You know, he found out that the earth and the other planets were going around the sun. And the Bible already said it in Mazaros, right? You know, said it in Mazaros and so on. And so anyway, we are talking about the hanging the heart upon nothing, right? Try to connect that with the pillars that God spoke about in the Bible, and so not concrete pillars, right? Hold that in your mind. So matter of, you see that the heart is moving and rotating around the sun, right? So let's put that in our mind. So we can get to the point where what is the Lord hanging the heart on nothing. Now, the scripture also mentioned the rotation of the earth around its axis before science knew anything. So matter of tell us that the heart is moving around the sun, right? Not only that, the Bible also tells us in the book of, which book tells us that? The book of Job, see the very first book in the Bible, it told us that the heart has just another kind of moving, you know, which is moving around its axis. That is in Job 38, verse 12 through 13, through 14, we could read that one. Now, that's Job in Job 38, verse 12. Has thou commanded the morning since that day, O Job, and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now look at verse 14. It is turned, meaning the heart is turned as clay to the steel, and they stand as a garment. So the heart is turned as a clay to the steel. Talking about the heart rotating on its axis. So once in 24 hours, right? Turning the surface of the earth towards the sun. So that was the thing. So the sun has its imprint upon the earth. So science found out that the earth has two rotations around the sun and then around its own axis. One in 24 hours, turning it to the sun. In one place of the earth, now it's dark. If you go to Japan, now it's dark deep in the night, right? So the heart is turning on the axis. You know, the Bible said about all these things. Only the book of Job, can you find it, you know? Yes, that's of the creation, you know? So that's how we know. Some of these are difficult to know that it is the first book of the Bible, actually, you know? So, what happens? In other words, the heart, by its daily rotation on its axis, is turned to the sun as clay is turned to the sea. It is turned to receive the morning and day spring, meaning it is turned to the sun to receive the imprint upon it. Now, the conclusion is this. The motion of the earth moving, following its course around the sun, you know, that is in Job 38:32, and its motion around its own axis, in Job 38:14, constitutes the foundation of the earth, and referred to as the law hanging the heart upon nothing. They are two cosmos forces. Trying to tell you this. They balance out. That's how they balance. That's a gravitational pull of the sun on the earth, right? And also that is, you know, so and it's spinning on its axis. So this is the balance and put them in orbit. So now many satellites are put in a orbit. They go so far where the gravitational pull of the heart, they kind of nod out, you know. So anyway, science knows, but the Bible says these things, or the book of Job told us all these things before. Anyway, that's right there. So now let's move away from it's a lot about creation. I just stopped right there for what the book of Job told us about creation. There are great things in the book of Genesis, you know. So let's see one more thing. The book of Job even talks about the fall of man. See? Yeah, Moses wrote about that, but he talked about the fall of man. Let's see that in the book of Job 31, about 33 verse. Job 31, 33. The fall of man. If I covered my transgression as Adam, you mentioned Adam as well, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom. So we're talking about transgression right there. Then verse 40 says this. Let cistus grow instead of wheat. If Bible reader, we couldn't find out now. Nobody's written about that. And cockle instead of barley. The words of the Job are ended. So what Moses wrote to us about the fall of man, Genesis 3:18, tongues and also testicles shall they bring forth to thee. That what Moses wrote. Even Job talking about the fall of man too, talking about testicles in verse 40 of Job 31:40. Let things to grow instead of wheat. You see? So he said that and so on that, you know. So anyway, even more on that by the fall of man in Job 34, verse 14. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath. Now, all flesh shall perish together. You know, talking about the fall of man, right? That perish together. And man shall turn again unto dust. Isn't that what Genesis told us, that Moses wrote to us in Genesis 3:19? In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. And till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Job wrote about that. You know, he said it in Job 34, verse 14. You know, so we see right there, you know. So now, did he talk about the flood? I'm showing you that many events in the book of Genesis, you know, you're also reading the book of Job to really support what you're talking about and so on. And don't forget, we are not making any doctrine out of this. We're just revealing what the Holy Spirit has shown his people over the years. Doesn't save anybody and so on that, but it's good to understand the word of the Lord. They talk about the flood, yes, in Job 12, verse 14. Talking about the flood. Behold, it breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. It shutteth all, a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, verse 15 says, behold, he withholded the waters, and they dried up. Also, he sent them out, and they overturned the earth. So he said, now in Job 22, verse 15, hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundations was overflowed with a flood? He wrote about the flood, so I know. And we said unto God, depart from us. And what can the Almighty do for them? So in a way, talk about the flood. That's Job 22, 15 through 17. So the very flood that Moses wrote about, and so on that, Now, he talked about the covenant of Noah in a way, said in Job 26, verse 10, he has compassed the water with bands. See that one? The covenant of Noah. Until the day and night, come to an end. In Job 38, the 8th verse, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. When I made a cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, is swaddling for it. So, and verse 10 says, and break up for it my decreed place, talking about the covenant as well, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto thou shalt come, but no further, and that shall be thy proud way stayed. Like he said, I will never overflow the heart again with water, right? That was told Noah. So we see. Now, how about the scattering of the people upon the face of the earth? Did Job say anything about this? All these are just going to say that, look, he indicated all these things. So the scattering of the people over the earth. In Job 12, about 17, I will run through quickly to these verses here. In Job 12, 17, he leadeth counselors away, spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. Verse 20, he removeth away the speech of the trusty. Confuse their language, didn't he? He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyed them. He enlargeth the nations and straightened them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. See? They grab in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. In such a way, I think he was talking about the scattering of the people after the Tower of Babel thing and things like that. God showed him that and so on. A number of other ancient tribes. Now, let's another viewpoint about Job now. Now, a number of other ancient tribes or nations still retain names closely associated with those who were scattered away. I want to mention a few of them that Job mentioned them. There are some other names in the Bible, ancient names or tribes or nations that still retain the names associated with those who were scattered. Like the Chaldeans. You can see them in Job 1:17. The Chaldeans. What came to him? Job 1:17. Chaldeans is an ancient name. And we know that. Why he was yet speaking, the Bible says in Job 1:17, meaning one servant of Job, There came also another and said, the Chaldeans, see, made out three bands and fed upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped to tell thee. Here's another word called Cush, C-U-S-H, that means Ethiopia, right? You know, in Job 28 verse 18, the Bible says, the price of wisdom is above rubies. Verse 19 says, the topaz of Ethiopia, see? Or in the book of Job, you know. So these ancient names are still maintained, noted today and so on. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, talking about wisdom. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. How about Ophir? O-P-H-I-R. It's an ancient name and so on. That still, you know, that ancient name and tribe that are still remaining. In Job 28, we are told in verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 16 says, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious oil or the sapphire. So you see, all these ancient of Job. How about the Sabians in Job 1:15? Still talking about the children and the destruction. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yes, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And only I escaped to come and tell thee. So another one in the same verse of the book of Job. Sheba, you know, I'm talking about ancient names, you know, and so on, that were mentioned in the book of Job and so on. And they still retain those names even now, closely associated with those who were scattered back then. You know, these names are, you know, associated with who are scattered upon the face of the earth. How about the Sheba in Job 6:15? My brethren have dead deceitfully as a brook, and as a stream of brooks, they pass away. Verse 19. The troops of Timon looked. The companies of Sheba waited for death. So I'm just talking about names right now. How the book of Job, those who are scattered, another time, the name are still remaining today. How about the word Oz? Uz. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. That one we know. Now that's one thing. Now there are also in the book of Job another viewpoint. There are mentions of names closely associated with Abraham, meaning that these things were written back in the, that was before Moses, right? But far before Moses, names that were associated with Abraham. So it was written in the time of the patriarch. So before Moses was ever born, right? No Moses to Abraham and so on. That's some of them right now. Another reason why we believe that this is actually the first other book in the Bible. Now, multiple people could have the same name, but often names come and go in fact, right? How about the word, the name Tema, T-E-M-A, in Job 6:19, the troops of Tema looked, the companies of Sheba waited for them. Now, who is, in the time of Moses, who was, or Abraham, who was Tema? Tema was one of the sons of Ishmael. We know that. That is in Genesis 25, verse 13. I may read that one to you. So, talking about names, that names that were mentioned, you know, that Job mentioned, which were names used in the time of Abraham before Moses was ever born, right? You know, so and so Tema was one of them, and Tema was the son of Ishmael. That is in Job 6:19, and you can see that it is a son of Ishmael in Genesis 25:13, and there are the names of the sons of Ishmael. Verse 15 says, Hada and Tima. See, right there. So, I'll give more. I'll give it close here. You know, Hada, that's a Tema. T-E-M-A-N, the name. Job said in Job 2:11, now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, that's what I'm talking about, the Temanite, the Tema. And we know that the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Tema was the grandson of Esau. We know that. We are saying that even Job, the names in the time of Job were the names in the time of Abraham, far before Moses, right? So that's what I'm talking about here. So we see it mentioned Tema right there in Job 3:11. And we know Tema was a grandson of Esau. In Genesis 36, verse 15, those were dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, right there, you know. Another name, Koshua, S-H-U-A-H. Call it a Bible study, maybe so, you know, just kind of expositing some things about the scripture and this book of Job. So that's a name called S-H-U-A-H and so on, you know, that was mentioned. So that's Shua in Job 2:11, he mentioned Shua. Now, when Job 3 friends and so on, heard of all of you that befell him, they were carried every one of them to its own place. Eliphaz, Temanite, and then Bildad, the Shuahai. That is Shua, right? So we know that Shua was the son of Abraham and Keturah, that's right. So you see this name going in the book of Job, going back to Abraham's time, not in the time of Moses, you know, time of Abraham. Let me show you the book of Genesis, where the Shuanites are. 25 of, he was the son of Abraham and Keturah. 25 of Genesis, verse 1. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, and Jokshan, Amida, Ishbak, and Shua. That's it, right? See? So I'm saying, you see, it was written the time, you know, the patriarch, you know, before Moses was ever born, before he talked about something like the book of Genesis, you know. So anyway, one more name, Buz, B-U-Z. So in Job 32, verse 2, then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachil, the Buzite. Buzite means Buz, right? No, both of Buzite, you know, of the kindred of Ram. What do we know about Buz in Genesis? Buz was a nephew of Abraham. We know that. Let me read that in Genesis 22, verse 10. We are showing this name as it was in the book of Job. I'm repeating myself now to bring out what we are talking about, you know. So these are names that were used in the book of Job, which were used in the time of Abraham, not the time of Moses, per se, you know. So in Buz was in Genesis 22, verse 20, you know, he said, and you know, he was a nephew of Abraham, and it came to pass after those things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she has also born children unto thy brother Nahor. See how Hoth is nephew. And verse 21 says, Hoth is firstborn, and Buz, you see that one, Buz is brother. So this Buz was Abraham's nephew. And Job mentioned that name in Job 32 too. So names that were, you know, in the time of Abraham, telling you what era, the event that the book of Job was written. Now, so the names Job gave his children, another viewpoint, were common only before and during the time of the patriarchs, but they are very, very uncommon today. Let's see what he named his daughters and so in Job 42 verse 13. Even the name he gave his children, they are not common names, only that in those days. 42 of Job, verse 13. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kezia, and the name of the third Karen Pokosh, or whatever, Karen Hapok. Anyway, just names that he gave at that time and so on, so which are not common, other than the days of Abraham, maybe before and things like that, showing you the era of time when the book of Job was written. Now, another viewpoint is this. You know, in that the Libyan age and so on, before the flood, people were living long lives, right? So, how long did Job live? To tell you that, look, that, you know, let's see how long you live. You know, the length of lifespan was still very high in the time that the book of Job was written. To tell you that, I mean, in Genesis 6:3, he said 120 years, right? You know, he shortened his lifespan in Genesis 6:3, right? You know, in the time of when Moses wrote that book. But let's see, in the book, in that time of Job, it belonged to the ancient, when the length of life was still long, like, you know, like, in Job,
42 verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even for generations. Don't forget though, after this event, right? What happens? So even though Job was already an old man, right? When the main events narrated concluded, he lived 140 years after that. He was already an old man, right? So it belongs to the longevity of that time. When Moses came on the scene, the Bible says man's life shall be 120 years, right? That's what he said in Genesis 6 theory, right? So it belongs to that era of when life was still high. That let us know, I'll give us a pointer that the book was written far before Genesis and all that, you know. Now, so let's finish up to that. I keep on finishing. Now, he mentioned the sons of God in many, many places, you know. In Job says so, in Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord and so on, and Satan came also among them. And in Job 2:1, again there was a day when the sons of God called to present themselves. People give different names to that sons of God. I just leave it literally like that, you know, before the Lord. And then Satan came also among them to present himself, before the Lord. Job 38:7, he had a question. When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. To me, God is showing him already in the book of Job. He covered a lot of parts in the Bible. Even of the two sons of God at the end of time and so on, he's telling us that what Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 told us in the New Testament. What was it? Now look at the sons of God. Where they stand together. Where were you, Job? You know, and so on that, you know. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. See that? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, it's not the day that you came to the altar and received Christ that God already forgave you. Praise the Lord. He predestinated you to be adopted of children through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are wondering about this, in Hebrews we are told that Levi, he paid tithes when he was yet in the lot of Abraham, right? Did he know himself when he was in the lot of Abraham? Did he know himself? You were in God before in the foundation of the world. You didn't know it, you couldn't know it, no more that you know yourself when you were in the lot of your father. Praise the Lord. You see, the natural, so that is, you know, so that, let me call that short anyway. So now, the sons of God. Now, in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See? And therefore the world knows us not, because it knows him not. Don't you ever think as a Christian that you will ever be popular with the world. If you are, something is wrong, you know? Praise the Lord. So, but among your brethren, yes, praise God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Job talked about all these things far from the beginning. He covers a lot ground in the Bible, you know, that book and so on, that, you know. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, you know, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you know that Job, he wrote by the coming of the Redeemer. He wrote by the coming of Christ. He covered a lot of ground. Here, when he talked about Christ, a prophet shall know that God raised up like unto me, right? Now he said that. But Job even went deeper than that. Praise the Lord. See, that's what Job said by the Redeemer in Job 19:25. Talk about the resurrection. He talked about the coming of the Redeemer, you know, in Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Talk about the case, my Redeemer, you know, and so on. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the later day upon the hour, at the end of time, you know, 4,000 years later, we stand upon the hour. As was saying, you know, and right on time, the Redeemer, the case, my Redeemer came. So he shall stand upon the earth, and though after my skin won't destroy this body, Job said by the Holy Ghost, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Talking about the coming of the Redeemer and so on, what he was saying there, we know that You know, he's talking about this. He can foresee as a prophet, you know, the first fruit resurrection of the Old Testament saints, you know, in Matthew 27. I don't have time right there. About verse 50 of Matthew 27 and so on. He cried with a loud voice on the cross. And when the Bible said the veil of the temple ran from the top to the bottom, Bible said there's a great earthquake in there. Bible said the body of the saints and so on, that, you know, the Old Testament saints. I believe two was one of them. I wouldn't say that, but I believe it's very much. Look at what he said. He said, I will see my Redeemer when he come at the end of the age. See, I will see him, you know, not another. I will see the Lord and so on. I believe it was one of those Old Testament first with resurrection in Matthew 27 that we talked about a lot here and so on, that, you know. So he's talking about the sons of God, talking about the Christmas Redeemer, and he talked about the sons of God. So this morning, so the conclusion is this. While the early chapters of the book of Genesis cover events that happened before Job, the actual written accounts of those events were not recorded until after the book of Job was written. So in fact, according to reckoning, the book of Job is 400 years older than the book of Genesis, for many, many chronologies and things like that, you know, just for the grain of salt, 400 years. Right. Actually, it fell between 1900 BC and about 1700 BC, right? So, and from what you see, the Genesis wasn't written until 400 years later. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. So again, this morning, it's just like, you know, like I said before that I begin, the exposition is not meant to be a doctrine or anything like that, but the knowledge or lack of it, I put here, the knowledge or lack of this thing and so on, like I said this morning, does not save or make anybody to be lost, really, you know. It's just always fascinating to know all that can be known about the Word of God. And I quoted Proverbs 25, verse 2, where the Bible says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. God bless you, brethren. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We worship you and we adore you, Lord. Father, it displeases you. Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? Lord, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to others it wasn't given to them. Lord, so you say, blessed are your eyes that see these things, the Lord said, and your ear that hear these things. For kings and prophets, Bible says, it is that you hear and see these things. What is given to them? So, Lord, we thank you for the age we are living in. Lord, the latest of the latter time. Lord, we thank you for to be awake and aware. And be full of joy. You know, Bible says that my joy may remain in you. Yeah, we may have tribulation here and there. You even told us that already. In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because I'm in you are an overcomer, said the Lord. Greater is he that is in you, the Lord Jesus, than he that is in the world. All you ever need is in that word of God, knowing the name of our Lord Jesus. What things soever you ask the Father in my name, I, Jesus, will give it to you. So, and then you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's what it says, our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are closing with this thought, Lord, to go cheerfully and joyfully, you know, knowing who we are, sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. That is our chiefest joy. You know, now are we the sons of God. Not when they come. Today we are already sons of God. When we know and some of that, you know. So we thank you, Father. As we go, we commit the week to your hand, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So thank you because you are with us always. You say, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So now that we may have favor everywhere we go, Lord, in the business area, in our daily work with mankind and so on, that we may have favor in the name of the Lord Jesus. The brother was talking about the light in Yoruba song and so on. Ye are the light of the world. Yeah, the Bible says the Lord has lighted every man that cometh into the world. As we go, help us to make our light so shine that the world will see it, Lord, and glorify thy name. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, thank you. We commit every request represented in us this morning before you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Bible says, he that search the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So therefore, being so, therefore, Lord, then we have all that we need of. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every unspoken request here this morning, Father, meet it, Lord. Every request of our heart, that according to the will of God, Lord, meet them, Lord. that our joy may be full. He said, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I ask on behalf of every one of us this morning, Lord, whatever the need we may have in our heart this morning, that your name may be glorified. Father, thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What shall we say?